Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in John chapter 10. Allow me to begin once again this morning with a word of thanks and blessing to all the mothers who are here today. We are indeed thankful for you and for your service under our Lord Jesus Christ and all the love and the care that you give to us. But this is, of course, Good Shepherd Sunday, and we've come to hear about the Good Shepherd. But as we begin, it is right for us to understand that the Good Shepherd does his work in and through many, and some of the many are indeed our mothers. In fact, mothers then have a very special place in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, to give love and care, to bring life into this world, to give love and care to all of us as we make our way through. And so this in particular is what we give thanks for today. And this is what we ask God to bless. Mother's Day is something like a coin. A coin has two sides, and so does Mother's Day. It's inconceivable for us to think about Mother's Day without also thinking about children. There is a dynamic, a play between the two. So, yes, it is about the care that mothers give, but it is also about the response of the children to the parents, to the mother in particular, and giving back that thanksgiving and appreciation for what she has done. And so it is with Good Shepherd Sunday as well. There are these two sides. There is the main imagery of the Good Shepherd, who he is and what he does, but then there's also the other side, the sheep, and how the sheep respond. And that's what we want to look at today, this relationship, this interplay between the two. And so as we look at our text in John chapter 10, we see that there are both. There is a word about the Good Shepherd, and there's also a word about the sheep. So let's begin this morning then with the primary object, that of the Good Shepherd. If I were to ask you to take this and to take a couple minutes and read through it and identify what is the most important thing, the main point that you learn about the Good Shepherd today, I'm sure that I would receive a number of different answers. But if you were diligent and you actually read through the whole passage and didn't stop somewhere in the middle and say, that's it, but you read all the way to the end, I'm sure many of you would identify the very last sentence as the most important thing. I and the Father are one. Notice those last two words in particular, are one. One is singular. R is plural. And with that, we enter into this mystery of the Trinity. God, one God, and yet three persons. And of course, we could expand this to talk all about that this morning, but our text really limits us to talking about the Father and the Son. They are one, not separate, but they are indeed one. And the thing is, as you look at our text for today and the context, we understand that Jesus' opponents here understood that fully. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Because if you were to read just one more verse, verse 31, you would see that they picked up stones that they might stone him. And if that's not enough for us, we'd read down just a couple more verses. Verse 33, and it makes it explicit. The Jews answered Jesus, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself to be God." That's exactly what Jesus is saying in this context. Now, of course, his opponents here, they didn't succeed in their objective to stone him and to kill him. But you keep going, and you get down to chapter 19, And there we see that Jesus before Pilate is accused of the very same thing. So verse 7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." And of course, we know on this occasion, they were indeed successful, and Jesus was crucified. But the point being is they knew exactly what Jesus is saying, that he is indeed God. I and the Father are one, which becomes explicit in the logic of Jesus' words in our text for today. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. One of the possible negative outcomes of Good Shepherd Sunday is that we become too familiar with Jesus. By that I mean that this image of Jesus being the Good Shepherd is so powerful, it's so endearing to us, that it also very much humanizes Jesus. And that's a good thing, right? Because this is an image to which we gather unto ourselves the hope that Jesus becomes so much of a caring figure to us, that we see it, that he gathers us into his arms and he cares for us and we are comforted and we are cared for. And that's a really good thing, except for if we take it a little bit too far. And so sometimes what can happen is that Jesus becomes too much of our friend, too much of our brother, too much of our teacher, too much of the Good Shepherd. And you see, at least in our mind, we start to lose the divinity of Christ because of his humanity. And you see, I think that John here, talking about that Jesus and the Father are one, helps us to keep that balance. That yes, there is this wonderful imagery of the care that the Good Shepherd gives to us. But let us never forget at the same time who he is. That he's one with the Father. That he is the eternal God, the Lord of Lords, and he's the ruler of all. With that thought, then, we can move to the other side of this image and take a look at the secondary image, and that is of the sheep. And the sheep enter into the image, of course, because they are the recipients of the gifts of the Good Shepherd. And what are those gifts? Well, they're listed for us in verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So I count five gifts there. The first of those gifts is the voice of the shepherd, that he speaks to his sheep, that he begins to reveal himself to them as he comes to them, as he speaks to them, as he shows them who he is, and he begins to build this relationship with them. The way that we talk about that today is that he gives to us his word. He speaks to us through his word. That's the first gift. The second gift is that he knows his sheep. This is very significant, particularly in the whole of the scriptures. You go to 1 John chapter 4, so this is the Apostle John's epistle now, not his gospel, but his epistle. And there in that occasion, he writes about love, and he says, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but rather that he has loved us and given his Son as a propitiation for our sins. And so you see what he's talking about in terms of what love is, that it starts with God. It doesn't start with us. Our love for God is not the most important part of the equation. Rather, God's love for us is that which is most important. And that's where it starts. Because without God's love, our love means nothing. And now we can translate that over into what we're talking about today, about knowing God. It's the same thing. This is what knowing God is all about. Not that we know him, but rather that he has known us. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. That the most important thing is that he knows his sheep. Because again, if you somehow were able to know him, but he didn't know you, what good does that do? It's of no good at all. And so the whole thing starts. And the most important part of the equation is that he knows his sheep, that he knows you. And in verse 3 of this chapter, the 10th chapter of John, we also understand that he knows us by name, right? He calls the sheep by name. So it's not just that he knows you collectively as a flock, but he knows you individually as his sheep, as his children. That leads us then to the third gift, which is that he leads his sheep. And we sang together earlier, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because he's with me." You see, this is what his leading is all about. Not just that he goes before us, that's important, but also that he is with us as he leads us through the troubles of this world. That's the third gift. The fourth gift is that he gives eternal life. By virtue of our births from our mothers, we're given physical life. We should have received eternal life, but by virtue of our sin, we have lost that, and all we have is death. So while we have physical life, we do not have eternal life. We only have the eternal life by virtue of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. But as we prayed in our colic for today, has been wakened from death. We have eternal life. And the fifth gift then is the security that we've already talked a little bit about, that we are in his hand and nobody can snatch us from his hand. That security that he gives to us. So those are the gifts that the Good Shepherd gives. But you know that gifts, if they are not received and they are not used, are of little value. Again, we can think about mothers and their children. If a mother gives a gift to her child, the gift is never opened, just thrown to the side. Or even if it's unwrapped and just left in the box and off to the side, that gift never really has the opportunity to be fruitful in the life of the child. The gift is not just meant to be given, but also to be received and used. And so it is with the gifts of the Good Shepherd. He gives to us these gifts for the very purpose that we might receive them in faith and use them in faith. And so for each of the gifts, there is also then a response of the sheep. So the shepherd gives the gift of his voice. He speaks to his sheep, and the response of the sheep is to listen. Not just hear, but to listen. And in this, then, the Good Shepherd begins to build that relationship with his children, with his sheep. Which leads us to the second gift, that he knows the sheep, and now the sheep can know him. That's the response, because they are listening to the voice. The Good Shepherd is revealing himself, is revealing the Trinity to them, and they can begin to know their God. That leads to the third gift, where he leads. Okay? And so the response of the sheep to the leading of the good shepherd is to follow. And you see this just kind of begins to fall in line. That the shepherd speaks, the sheep listen. Sheep then begin to know. And then out of that trust relationship, they follow. And so this leading is really about trust. The response of the sheep to the leading of the shepherd is to trust and to follow. Not to go their own way, but to follow. And then fourth, the gift of eternal life, which the response of the sheep is hope. Promises of God are given, eternal life. That gives to us hope. So yes, as we walk through this, the troubles of this world, and even through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not fear. We have hope because we recognize that the most important thing is not the things of this world. This world is not the most important. It is important, there's no doubt, but there is something far greater, and that's what we always need to keep in mind. And that's what this promise of eternal life is all about, and that's why it gives to us hope even as we walk through this world. And then finally, we have the gift of security, and the response of the sheep is freedom. Security, what does that do for you? It means that God's promises will never be removed. He's never going to renege. And that gives you the freedom to live as his children. Remember, the misnomer of freedom is that we get to do whatever we want. No, that's not what freedom is. Not at all. Freedom, as we understand it in relationship with God, is freedom from sin, death, and the devil. Freedom to be able to be who we are created to be, to live in faith towards God. That is what freedom is. And that comes through the security that is given to us by our God. And so as we gather here together today to celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday and also Mother's Day, we start with remembering that relationship with mothers and their children. And of course, we give thanks to our mothers. But you see, there's the dynamic here. Who's the giving thanks? You know, this is the response. Mother's Day is really about the response of the children to their mothers who have given to them. And you know, so it's one of those things like, even if we haven't gotten it right all year long, even if we've never said anything or showed our appreciation all year long, at least on this day, we get to show our appreciation. And we get to respond. We get to say, thank you, Mom, for what you've done for me. It's the response that is so important in this day. And so it is with Good Shepherd Sunday. Yes, of course, the main image is that of our Good Shepherd and what he does for us and what he gives to us. But a big part of this day is also the response that we have to the Good Shepherd. The response in which we hear the voice, we listen, that we follow where he leads, that we know him, that we follow where he leads, that we have hope and freedom in all of these gifts that he's given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.